Amen. Our scripture reading today is 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And let us read this passage together. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen.
Good morning. Before we go into our message, let's go ahead and turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we now acknowledge what your word teaches us, that if we abide in Christ Jesus, he is the vine and we are the branches. When we abide in him, we bear fruit, but apart from him, we can do nothing. So with this full acknowledgement of our dependency on Christ Jesus, who is our life, through whom comes to us all the blessings of salvation, Lord, we pray, please open our hearts. Please grant us illumination in our minds to understand your truth by your Holy Spirit who lives in us. We confess, Lord, that apart from Christ, we are entirely powerless, but in him, Lord, we have power to bear fruit and to understand your truth and to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. And so we pray now, Lord, let your people receive your word for what it is, your word and not the word of man. Let us receive it and grant us, we pray, understanding to apply it for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing on with our series in 1 John, picking up where we left off last week in the second chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 10 to verse 11. So if you recall from our previous text, we were taught an astonishing truth that applies to all who are born-again believers, all across the board, from the most infantile in faith to the most mature in faith. And what was this astonishing truth? The love for God's people that is true in Christ Jesus is also true in all who abide in him. We read in verse 8 of last week's text, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. We learned in our previous message that this new commandment, which the Apostle John refers to, is Christ's commandment to his disciples to love one another as he loved them. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And this new commandment to love God's redeemed people with a Christ-like love is true in all who are in Christ Jesus today. As we determined in our previous message, to love God's people with Christ-like humility, patience, and a servant's mindset to benefit their true spiritual interests is not beyond the reach of born-again, spirit-indwelt Christians. All who trust in Christ Jesus with saving faith fulfill this new commandment with increasing consistency, with increasing depth, because Christ's Spirit lives in them, granting them power to bear the fruit of sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit, the foremost quality of that fruit being Christ-like love. In fact, as we've emphasized in the past, Love for the redeemed brethren of Christ's church is such an essential aspect of God's saving grace that it is referred to later in this epistle as definite proof that a person has been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. 1 John 13:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. And in confirmation of the centrality of Christ-like love for God's people and God's work of regeneration and sanctification, we read in verse 10 of today's text, "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling." Christ-like love for God's people, as we see in our text, is proof that a person abides in the true light, Christ Jesus, as a branch abides in the vine. Christ-like love for God's people is the indisputable mark of all who have been brought into Christ's everlasting kingdom by the saving grace of God. In contrast, as last week's text has shown, hatred for a brother in Christ's church exposes that a person remains in darkness, regardless of what he or she may profess in relation to Christ. 1 John 2:9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Today's text continues this theme of Christ-like love for God's people as a distinguishing mark of regenerated believers. That is in contrast to hatred for a brother in Christ's church, which exposes any claim to fellowship with Christ as false. So, with that said, let us turn to today's text and continue to unpack this theme, which was introduced in last week's text. Point number one, the snare of hatred. Before I go into point number one, I would like to ask the boys who are browsing their phones, can you please put your phones away? Okay, this is, we're worshiping the Lord. Please put your phones away. Point number one, the snare of hatred. Verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So once again, we read in the first verse of today's text, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So as verse 8 of our previous text clarified, Christ-like love is true in all born again and sanctified believers. When Christ-like love for God's people is present and growing in a person, that is proof that a person abides in Christ and that Christ's Spirit lives in him or in her. The love for God's people that is true in Christ is true in all who trust in Christ. And so, all for whom this initial clause of verse 10 is true, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, the second clause of verse 10 applies. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. So if we love our brothers in Christ, we abide in the light. And in him there is, and in us there is no cause for stumbling. Well, what is the meaning of this second clause which applies to all who love the brethren of Christ's church with a Christ-like love? Well, in the original language, the word translated as stumbling in verse 10 is scandalon, which is defined as a snare, a stumbling block. Figuratively, it refers to a thing that offends. Let me get a clear sense of the meaning of the word in 1 Corinthians 1, 22-23. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, A stumbling block, scandalon, there's that word again. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Unbelieving Jews reject the message of Christ crucified because the notion of a crucified Messiah is a stumbling block to them. It's offensive, contradictory to their cherished expectations for the Messiah. As the ESV Study Bible puts it in its commentary in this verse, a crucified Messiah was offensive to an unbelieving Jew and nonsensical to an unbelieving Greek. So once again, why do unbelieving Jews reject Christ crucified according to 1 Corinthians 1, 22-23? Because a crucified Messiah is a stumbling block to them. A crucified Messiah is offensive. So that gives us an understanding of what verse 10 is getting at when we read, "And in him there is no cause for stumbling." What is stumbling? Stumbling figuratively refers to a thing that offends. So the difference between the person who abides in the light and the person who is in darkness is that the person who is in darkness causes himself or herself to be stumbled by the brothers of Christ's church. The person who claims to be in the light but is in darkness is constantly taking offense at God's people instead of loving them. Such people are constantly displeased at those they claim to be their Christian brethren. Constantly upset by something someone said to them in the church. Constantly aggravated by someone who has in some way inconvenienced them. Constantly angered by something that they perceive as a slight towards themselves. Constantly holding grudges against one person or another, constantly clashing with others for no better reason than personal ambition, constantly reviling others out of malice and envy. And as a result, such people are a chronic source of pain to the true brethren of Christ's body. Such people are stumbled by the brothers of Christ's church. And the brothers of Christ's church are stumbled by them, exasperated by the strife that they sow wherever they go among the brethren. Well, in contrast, is the person who abides in the light and loves the brethren with a regenerated, sanctified, Christ-like love. Regenerated believers who love their brothers are ready to forgive and ready to reconcile when given the opportunity, are ready to reason frankly with their brother if something should come between them, are eager to serve their brothers with a humble attitude that is motivated by their spiritual interest, and are eager for restoration and to live in holy peace with their brethren in Christ. In Proverbs 10:12 we read, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." And so in these ways that we just mentioned, the person who abides in the light loves his or her brother in Christ and covers all offenses. Because a regenerated and sanctified believer fundamentally loves his or her brethren in Christ, as opposed to fundamentally taking offense at them, the brethren in Christ are able to enjoy true fellowship with him or with her, joined together with common spiritual life and purpose. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Which brings us to the second point of our message, the reason for hatred. We read on verse 11 of our text, "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So, what is the root cause for this fundamental disposition of offense towards the brother of Christ's church, which stirs up the kind of strife that we mentioned earlier? What is the root cause of this hateful mindset that some bring with them into the church? What is the cause of their stumbling on account of the brethren? Well, the root cause is broken down for us in verse 11. First, a person who hates his brother in the church is in the darkness. Verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. He is in the darkness, that's why. The self-same darkness mentioned in verse 9 of this chapter that we referred to last week. The darkness that is passing away. A person who hates his brother is in this domain of darkness. He is in the world order that abides in spiritual death, dwells under the dominion of sin, and is in bondage to the devil. He is a part of this domain of darkness that is destined for destruction. Although he may claim to be in the light, his hatred of his brother in Christ exposes that the love for God's people that is true in Christ is not true in him. As we learned in last week's text, this love for God's people that is true in Christ is true in all who abide in him by the regenerating and sanctifying grace of God. So in other words, a person who hates his brother in the church of Christ hates his brother simply because he is in the darkness. He is spiritually dead, without the life of new birth, without the heartfelt trust towards Christ that comes as a result of new birth, without the spirit of sanctification. Secondly, a person who hates his brother in the church walks in the darkness. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. What does that mean? What does it mean to not only be in the darkness, but also walk in the darkness? Well, it means that he is guided in life by the same exact principle that guides all others who are in the darkness. As we've been at pains to emphasize over the past 2 weeks or so, it doesn't matter what sort of background a person comes from, the level of education they achieve, what brand of philosophy they subscribe to, what field of work a person is in. Apart from new birth, all people are guided by one principle. And what is that principle that governs and guides their life? Well, it was told to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It is the passions of their flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Well, instead of simply reiterating what we said last week concerning these passions of the flesh, I'll go ahead and allow Dr. Lloyd-Jones to provide his analysis. This is what he writes. "The life which is lived by people who are not Christians is ultimately an unintelligent life. It is not the life that is fundamentally governed by reason and understanding, but by their desires, impulses, instincts, and by these elemental powers and forces and what are called drives today that are innate in human nature. Some of these, of course, belong entirely to the flesh, to the body. There are some people who live to eat. There are some people who live to drink. There are some people who live to indulge their sex. There's no question about that at all. That's the thing they really live for. Of course, they've got to do some work somewhere in order to have the money to do these things, but that's the thing they really live for." And Dr. Lloyd-Jones goes on to write, Ah, yes, says the writer and all the writers of the New Testament, but there are also desires or lusts or drives of the mind. You see, you can be a lustful person, though you are a very respectable person. You mustn't think of lust only pertaining to the body and constituting certain sins that I've already mentioned. It is a terrible thing to have a lust of the mind and look at it in some of the most respectable people. Ambition is a lust. There's no greater lust than ambition. Is there anything, I wonder, more horrible and at the same time despicable than ambition? See the man planning and scheming. See him watching. Yes, he pretends to be nice and friendly, but if he thinks his friend is likely to get ahead of him, he'll do something in a subtle way to keep him back. Ambition, what a lust! Keeps men awake at night, makes them miserable and unhappy if they see a favorable report about somebody else. Ambition, that's a lust, a horrible lust. A beastly lust, desire for prominence, desire for fame, desire for success, anxiety to make money, to cut a great figure, all these are nothing but lusts and lusts of the mind. So what causes people who claim to be in the light, who participate in the life of the church and yet are in darkness, to take offense at God's people in all the ways that we had mentioned earlier in this message? Well, is it simply not this? These passions of the flesh. Someone has something that they crave for themselves. Someone is enjoying some material blessing that is out of their own reach to enjoy. Someone's preference or need has been taking precedence over their own. This lust for approval, this lust to be seen as someone who is admirable and accomplished, this lust to be regarded as an important person, this lust to dominate others, this lust to take precedence over others. I don't think it's necessary for me to go on. I think the point is clear. People who claim to be in the light but are in darkness are led in life by the passions of their flesh, which causes them to take offense at the people in Christ's church, whom they claim are their brethren, producing envy and malice towards them, leading to hatred, which stirs up strife. They are in the darkness, and they walk in the darkness. Well, thirdly, a person who hates his brother in the church does not know where he is going. So we go on and read in verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we see here that the person who hates his brother does not know where he is going. He may claim that he knows where he's going. He may claim that he's walking in the way of salvation. But his hatred for his brother in the church exposes that he does not know where he is going. Although he may acknowledge it, his hatred for his brother simply exposes that he is in the darkness and is walking in the darkness, controlled in life by the exact same principle that controls all else who are in the darkness. Which brings us to our third and final point, how love contrasts with hatred. So for our final point, we'll go ahead and return to verse 10 of today's text. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So once again, last week we learned that the new commandment, which is true in Christ and true in all who abide in him, is the commandment to love God's people as Christ loved his people. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, immediately prior to giving this new commandment to his disciples, Jesus had washed his disciples' feet as an example to them, that they should wash one another's feet, that they should serve one another humbly. And shortly after giving this new commandment, what would happen? Well, we know Jesus would then go on to lay down his life for his disciples, and lay down his life for all who would believe in him. Well, this is the kind of love that is true in all who are born again and are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This Christ-like love is a humble love that serves the brethren of Christ's church and looks to their true spiritual interest in a selfless manner. And with this Christ-like love for God's people is present and is growing in a person, well, we read in verse 10 of our text, in him there is no cause for stumbling. Such a person does not stumble himself or herself on account of the brethren, does not constantly take offense at them because of the passions of the flesh that control them, but rather fulfills the command to love God's people with spirit-wrought power and does so more and more. They put into practice what is commanded of God's people in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Such a person aims for restoration, aims to comfort his or her brethren, finds agreement with them on the basis of Christ's word, and lives in peace with them because of his or her heart to serve them with a humble, Christ-like love. And as a result, the brethren of Christ's redeemed people are not stumbled by this person. They're not at wit's end attempting to deal with him or her. Not exasperated by the constant trouble and turmoil he or she is causing. But are rather helped. Admonished, encouraged, and comforted by this person who serves them for the benefit of their true spiritual good in Christ Jesus. With that said, let's now turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached is the result of the illumination of your Holy Spirit, and insofar as what has been preached is in keeping with your word, the word of Christ, we pray that your people will now heed and listen because of the Holy Spirit who lives in them, who gives them the capacity to believe and to trust your word for what it is, the word of God. And we pray that it will bear fruit in our lives so that we would love our brethren in Christ Jesus, the brothers of the church, and we may do so more and more. We have learned in your word that the love that was in Christ for his people is a love that is true of all who are in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.